Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, I'm moving forward, and I thank you for joining me and moving forward with me as well this morning. And as always, I thank God for waking me up. I am thankful, I am grateful, and I am truly blessed to be with you this morning and hopefully sounding better, because I sure am feeling better. There's nothing like a good night's sleep. Nothing like a good night's sleep, and I thank God for a good night's sleep and a good rest on last night. And I just thank God for being who he is, an awesome and mighty God, a wonderful, wonderful Father. That's who he is. So giving God honor, glory, and hallelujah praise this morning, I thank you for joining me and ask God to bless you. Father God, we ask you to watch over and bless each and every person listening to this book, those live and those later. Lord God, I ask you to watch over them and their families and their friends and all those that are acquainted with them. Lord God, I ask that the word today be a sweet aroma to your nostrils, Father God. Ask you, Lord God, to increase as I decrease. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my humble heart, Lord God, be acceptable in your holy sight. For you are my strength, and you, Lord God, are my redeemer. And I give all to you. Teach me your way, O Lord, that I will walk in your truth this morning. Lord God, I pray this psalm as I say, unite my heart to fear your name. I will praise you, O Lord, my God, with all my heart. And I will glorify your name forevermore. For great is your mercy toward me. And you have delivered my soul from the depths of hell. And I thank you, Father God, for the reading of this holy word as I pray it this morning. I thank you, Father God, for your grace and mercy. Thank you, Lord, for your Son and my Savior, Jesus Christ. And it's in his name I pray. Thank you, Lord, for covering me with your blood from the crown of my head, the sole of my feet, for the blood of Jesus flows through all of us that believe. And I believe. So thank you, Lord, for your blood, your Son, my Savior. Again, in his name I pray. Amen. Giving honor to God. And the prayer this morning is a prayer of David. And it is part of our lesson. But God put it in my heart to pray that prayer this morning. And it is also the title of our lesson today. Teach me your way, O Lord. I will walk in your truth. I want to walk in God's truth, not in the truth of man, because men lie. But God is always truthful. God is good, and his mercy endures forever and all time. I don't want to go to hell. And it, as the word says, for great is your mercy toward me. And you have delivered my soul from the depths of Sheol, which we know is hell. I thank God for delivering me from the depths of hell, because we've all been in our hell at some point in time. We've all visited that dark place in our life that we don't want to go again. We got to thank God for saving our souls. Thank God for making us whole. Thank God for His truth, for the right things to do and the right way to do it. All we can do is say, thank you, Lord, for giving us strength. We're doing a little different this morning. We're starting in our Psalms and Proverbs because this word just touched my heart so much that I felt Psalms this morning that we got to pray. And the prayer continues with this, oh God, the proud have risen against me. Been there, done that. Had some folks just tear me up for no reason. No reason. Folks, you know, you think you're liked and you find out that somebody is trying their best to do you in because they want what you have. And my feeling is if you got to scheme, connive, and lie to get what I have, then more power to you. For I know who my daddy is. And I know I'm covered by the blood of Jesus. So if you want to go and take what is not yours, go ahead. It won't last very long because it was not yours to have. But God has always given me grace. And I am grateful. I am grateful. And as we continue, it says, and a mob of violent men have sought my life. That was Jesus. In the Psalms, they talked about Jesus. And David talked about himself. But this is Jesus. This could be Paul. This could be John. This could be James. This could be Peter. This could be any one of the apostles. Oh God, the proud have risen against me, and a mob of violent men have sought my life. Whew. And have not set you before them, and have not set you before them. For you, O Lord, are God, full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in mercy and truth. Hallelujah. Oh, turn to me and have mercy on me. Give your strength to your servant and save the son of your maidservant. Show me a sign for good that those who hate me may see it and be ashamed because you, Lord, have helped me and comforted me. Could have been spoken by so many people of faith, people of the way, the truth, and the life, which is Jesus Christ. I was out last night with evangelists, and we went to a restaurant, and I don't know, God put in my spirit to ask a little girl if she went to church. And she says, oh, I am not a Christian. And I thought it was kind of weird because it just hit me, evangelist, that we didn't say we were Christians. We just asked her if she went to church and where did she go to church. And she said it. So obviously I didn't think about it at the time that Christ must have looked pretty good on us because the first thing she said was, I'm not a Christian and I don't go to church. And it's hard to explain. And evangelist, after we drove out, we thought about, we should have asked her, did she even know what a Christian was? But obviously, we look like Christians to her, because it didn't dawn on me until after the fact. I didn't say I was a Christian. I just said, do you go to church? And where do you go? So, obviously, Christ's likeness is on us, because folks know who you are before you open your mouth. I thank God for his grace and his mercy toward each and every one of us. I thank God for his grace and mercy that his light shines on us. Teach me your way, O Lord. I will walk in your truth. Asking God to teach us his way, not our way, so we can walk in his truth, that those that see us will know that we belong to Christ, that we are members of the way, that we light up as we speak about the goodness of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. I know Jesus, do you? He's my brother, he's my friend, he is my Savior. Do you know him? Hallelujah. What did Mary sing back in the day? I love God. Do you love God? You don't love God? What's wrong with you? We got to love God. And we got to love our Savior, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And we know his name. If it had been correctly translated, it would have been Joshua. But we know it's Joshua. Yeshua, and we love him, and we love Joshua too. That's my crush. I got a leadership crush on Joshua. But we have to know that God is in the mix of everything we do. Proverbs 21:17-18, he who loves pleasure will be a poor man. Teach. All you have to do is look at lottery winners. Some of them have nothing. They're back to where they were before they ever won the millions and millions of dollars, because nobody taught them what to do when they got all that money. I'm sure we've all been there where we've been flush and when we haven't been. And as it says, he who loves wine and oil will not be rich. This is true. And that's somebody that drinks too much and eats too much. And it goes on to say, the wicked shall be a ransom for the righteous and the unfaithful for the upright. We got to keep trusting God. And again, teach me your way, O Lord. I will walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. I will praise you, O Lord, my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify your name forevermore. For great is your mercy toward me, and you have delivered my soul from the depths of hell. Oh, Lord, I thank God for grace. I thank God for his mercy. I thank God for deliverance. Hallelujah. We're going back into our Old Testament words, and we are in Ezra chapter 3 through chapter 4. And as always, it is a great word. And again, I thank you all for your prayers. I'm speaking a lot clearer today. As I'm going through the week, it's going to get better and better because I feel good. I'm thankful. You know, we got to start speaking our truth. That I am thankful, I am grateful, I am blessed, I am healed, I am well, I am a child of God, and I'm give him honor, glory, and I'm going to say hallelujah, give him my God, hallelujah, and hallelujah, for he is God. God, and I give him the highest praise. There is none like you, Father God, who created the heavens and the earth and everything therein. Hallelujah. And I just got tickled yesterday. Billionaire, Amazon billionaire, built his spaceship so he could go up into space. Everybody trying to get to God. Don't know why they're trying to get to space, because they're trying to get to God. But unfortunately, it don't get to God that way. But they sure are trying. You can't buy your way into heaven. You can't fly your way into heaven. You can't negotiate your way into heaven. You got to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. But they are all trying millions and billions of dollars to get to space, trying to get to God. Hallelujah. But we know there's only one way. And that way is salvation. So I pray for all the billionaires and those trying to get to space, that they get saved, that they get to know the Lord God, they get to know our Heavenly Father, and that they get to know there's only one way, through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Hallelujah. Ezra chapter 3, verse 1. And when the seventh month had come, and the children of Israel were in the cities, and the people gathered together as one man to Jerusalem, then Jeshua, the son of Zodokath, and his brethren, the priest and the Deborah, the son of Shetel, and his brothers, arose and built the altar of the God of Israel to offer burnt offerings on it. It is written in the law of Moses, the man of God, no fear had come upon them because of the people of those countries. They set the altar on its base, and they offered burnt offerings on it to the Lord, both the morning and evening burnt offerings. They also kept the Feast of Tabernacles, as it is written, and offered the daily burnt offerings in the number required by ordinance for each day. Afterwards, they offered the regular burnt offering and those for new moons, all the appointed feasts of the Lord that were consecrated, and those of everyone who willingly offered a freewill offering to the Lord. From the first day of the seventh month, they began to offer burnt offerings to the Lord, although the foundation of the temple of the Lord had not been laid. They also gave money to the masons and the carpenters, and food, drink, and oil to the people of Sidon, and tears to bring cedar logs from Lebanon to the sea, to Joppa, according to the permission from which they had from Cyrus, king of Persia. And for those that know Persia, Persia is modern-day Iran. And I will tell you, there are many who will tell you up front, I am not an Iranian. I am a Persian. Because the name Iran is not that old. It is not that old. It came about through coups and regime changes and the takeover of the country, of the Khomeinis and the priests and preachers, and it became a theocracy and changed the course of the nation from Persia to Iran. So there will be many of you that will say, oh, he's Iranian. No, and they'll tell you up front, no, I'm not Iranian. I am a Persian. So the people that don't believe in a lot of stuff that's going on over there, the Sharia laws and all those things, will tell you they are not Iranian. They are Persian. And as we continue in this word, it says this, now in the second month of the second year of their coming to the house of God at Jerusalem, Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, Jeshua, the son of Zadok, and the rest of their brethren, the priests and the Levites, and all those who had come out of the captivity up to Jerusalem, began work and appointed the Levites from 20 years old and above to oversee the work of the house of the Lord. Then Jeshua with his sons and brothers, Cadmiel with his sons and the sons of Judah, arose as one to oversee those working on the house of God, the sons of Henadad, with their sons and their brothers, the Levites. When the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, the priests stood in their apparel with trumpets, and the Levites, the sons of Asaph, and the cymbals, to praise the Lord according to ordinance of David, king of Israel. And they sang responsibly, praising and giving thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever toward Israel. Lord, you are good. I love that. It's one of my favorite Israel house songs, because I know that it comes from Scripture. For he is good, and his mercy endures toward Israel. Lord, you are good, and your mercy endures forever. Hallelujah. Then all the people shouted with a great shout when they praised the Lord, because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. But many of the priests and Levites and heads of the fathers' houses, old men who had seen the first temple, wept with a loud voice when the foundation of this temple was laid before their eyes. Yet many shouted aloud for joy, so that the people could not discern the noise of the shout of joy from the noise of the weeping of the people. For the people shouted with a loud shout, and the sound was heard afar off. And we all know how we are when you feel so deep in your heart something, and you know in your heart that it reminds you of your happy place, of your happy time. Understand, these were priests. These were the men that worked in the temple. These were the people that saw the wonder of Solomon's temple, that saw the wonder of God's grace and God's love and God's anointing. And they also saw it tore down. They saw it vilified. They saw it treated like it was nothing by the different kings, where they allowed idolatry into the temple of God. They allowed the spirit of Jezebel in the temple of God. They allowed everything and anything in the temple of God. And they remember being taken captive as young men. Some of them practically babies, because they were in captivity 70 years. 70 years away from your home, away from your assignment. They were all Levites. They were away from their assignment. And you can feel the joy and the pain that they felt when they saw the foundation of the temple laid. To know God's grace, to let them live. Because I'm sure some were in their 90s, and maybe a few might have been in their 100s. Seeing the temple foundation again made them weep, made them shout for joy. For God is good, and he will give you the desire of your heart. And it says, but many of the priests and the Levites and heads of the father's houses, old men who had seen the first temple, wept with loud voice when the foundation of this temple was laid before their eyes. Yet many shouted aloud for joy, so that the people could not discern the noise of the shout of joy from the noise of the weeping of the people, for the people shouted with a loud shout, and the sound was heard afar off. I believe it was heard all the way to heaven, because God heard their appreciation for freedom. Now, chapter 4, now when the adversaries of Judah and Benjamin heard that the descendants of the captivity were building the temple of the Lord, God of Israel, they came to Zerubbabel and the heads of the fathers' houses and said to them, let us build with you, for we seek your God as you do, and we have sacrificed to him since the days of Sherezadon, the king of Assyria, who brought us here. But Zerubbabel and Joshua and the rest of the heads of the fathers' houses of Israel said to them, you may do nothing with us to build a house for our God, but we alone will build a house, the Lord God of Israel, as King Cyrus, the king of Persia, has commanded us. And I'm going to read that again. It says, but Zerubbabel and Joshua, the rest of the heads of the fathers' houses of Israel, said to them, you may do nothing with us to build a house for our God, but we alone will build to the Lord God of Israel, as King Cyrus, the king of Persia, has commanded us. Then the people of the land tried to discourage the people of Judah. They troubled them in building and hired counselors against them to frustrate their purpose. All the days of Cyrus, king of Persia, even until the reign of Darius, king of Persia, in the reign of Assyrus, in the beginning of his reign, they wrote an accusation against the inhabitants of Judah and Jerusalem. In the days of Artaxerxes, also Bishlam, Meredith, Tabal, and the rest of their companions wrote to Artaxerxes, king of Persia, and the letter was written in Aramaic script and translated into the Aramaic language. Rehum, the commander, and the Shimshai, the scribe, wrote a letter against Jerusalem to King Artaxerxes in this fashion. From Rehum, the commander, Shimshai, the scribe, and the rest of their companions, representatives of the Danites, the Ephoratites, and the Tarpalites, the people of Persia, and Erech, and Babylon, and Sheshan, and the Deviites, and the Elamites, and the rest of the nations, whom the great and noble Osnazar took captive and settled in the cities of Samaria, and the remainder beyond the river, and so forth. This is a copy of the letter that they sent him. Now I want y'all to remember all the things that I read. Remember when the Assyrians came, they removed the Jews or the Hebrews from that land and put in another people from everywhere, basically, and stuck them in there and left some to teach them the ways of the Hebrews, the ways of the Israelites, and the ways of Judah to worship the one God. So now when he said, let us build with you, for we seek your God as you do, and we have sacrificed to him since the days of Esarhaddon, king of Assyria, who brought us here. They were transplants. That's what they were. And now they got mad because the true Hebrew Israelites have come back. They got upset because the true people of God in Judah had come back. The people of Judah had come back. The true people of God, Israelites, had come back. The true people of God, and so they got upset because they're like, no, you're not one of us. You're fake. That's like fake folks claiming to love God, but all they want to do is get in to create havoc within the church. And let's continue in this word. It says, this is a copy of the letter that they sent to the king. the king Artaxerxes, from your servants, the men of the region beyond the river, and so forth. Let it be known to the king that the Jews who came up from you have come to us at Jerusalem, and we are building the rebellious and evil city and finishing its walls and repairing the foundations. Let it now be known to the king that if the city is built and the walls completed, they will not pay tax, tribute, or custom, and the king's treasury will be diminished. Now, because we receive support from the palace, it was not proper for us to see the king's dishonor. Therefore, we have sent and informed the king that search may be made in the book of the records of your fathers, and you will find in the book of the records and know that the city is a rebellious city, harmful to kings and providence, and that they have incited sedition within the city in former times, for which cause this city was destroyed. We inform the king that if this city is rebuilt and its walls are completed, the result will be that you will have no dominion beyond the river. The king sent an answer to Rehum, that the commander and Shimshai, the scribe, to the rest of their companions who dwell in Samaria, and to the remainder beyond the river, peace and so forth. The letter which you sent to us has been clearly read before me, and I gave the command, and a search has been made, and it was found that this city in former times had revolted against kings in rebellion, and sedition have been fostered in it. There have also been mighty kings over Jerusalem who have ruled over all the region beyond the river, and tax, tribute, and customs were paid to them. Now give the command to make these men cease, that the city may not be built until the command is given by me. Take heed now that you do not fail to do this. Why should damage increase to the hurt of the kings? Now when the copy of King Artaxerxes' letter was read before Rehum, Shimshai, the scribe, and their companions, they went up in haste to Jerusalem against the Jews, and by force of arms made them cease. Thus the work of the house of God, which is at Jerusalem, ceased, and it was discontinued until the second year of the reign of Darius, king of Persia. There is always a sneaky snake in the bunch to create havoc, to create confusion, to create dissent, to create problems. You know, just always somebody, well, I don't think we need to do this, or I don't think we need to do that. When you're trying to build, they're trying to destroy. And understand, these was fake folks that had been put there. They weren't even a part of the Jewish community. They were not a part of the Hebrew community. They were not an Israelite. They were fake. Fake. Stuck there by invaders. But all they came to do was kill, steal, and try to destroy the rebuilding of God's house. Don't mess with God, though. Let me just put it that way. Let's go back and get a few life lessons from chapter 3 and chapter 4 of the book of Ezra. And it says, let us build with you, for we seek your God as you do. And that's Ezra chapter 4, verse 2. The adversaries of God and of his people do not always attack with a frontal assault. Sometimes they try to seem friendly and sympathetic. A life of faith requires us to remain alert at all times. And we're going to go real quick over to 1 Peter chapter 5. And I'm going to tell you, got to be vigilant, because the enemy will slip in one of his sneaky snakes when you least expect it. And they come in the guise of benevolence. Oh, we're just here to help. We're just here to just see what we can do to make things better for you. And when all they're there to do is to destroy by a little hint here and a little hint there. And this is what the Word of God tells us. We have to listen to this word. And it says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But then let's go on to verse 10, because we're keeping it in context. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. We got to give it to God and know he's got us covered from the crowns of our head to the soles of our feet. Ezra chapter 4, verse 23. They went up in haste to Jerusalem against the Jews, and by force of arms made them cease. Sometimes God allows opposition to his will to succeed for a time. We may not know why, and unexpected developments may dishearten us, but adversity is merely a setback from which we take our greatest leaps forward. Hallelujah. Through adversity, our faith increases every time. All you have to do is through your adversity, keep saying, Lord, I trust in you. Don't get angry. Don't get mad. Say, Lord, I trust in you, because I'm going to tell you something. God will take care of every last one of those that did you awfully wrong. God will do it. You don't have to do anything but be still and know that he is God, and that you're going through it for a reason and a purpose, and that reason and purpose to make you strong. It is to make you strong and let you know that he is God, not us, but him. And there's a few more things from Dr. Stanley that I want to read, and it's the life questions. How can I find the strength to endure when I face spiritual opposition? Hallelujah. This is a word, for I think all of us have gone through spiritual opposition. And it says in the book of Ezra, we read of a believed people who faced opposition in doing what God had commissioned them to do. They sought to rebuild the holy temple that was destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar decades earlier. And they faced stiff opposition from the locals, deceitful offers of help, and open attacks from the outside. Still, God's people successfully completed the temple restoration. How? By developing a spiritual quality we all need in the Christian life, endurance. We got to endure. We got to finish the race. We might be slow. We might not make it as quick as somebody else. But he will endure to the end. We'll finish the race. God knows the Christian life is not easy. And it never will get easy. No matter how long we live in this world, we will face opposition, both from the world and from the enemy of our souls, the devil. Jesus told us, in the world you will have tribulation, John 16 and 33. Surrounded by such opposition, if we're going to live in a way that pleases God, then we must develop endurance. The Bible is full of examples of people who endured opposition to their work and who received their reward as a result. Hebrews 11, often called the Faith Hall of Fame, lists some of those heroes. But what exactly is involved in endurance? At least four things play a big role. So if you want to get a pen and paper to write down these four things that play a role in endurance, please do so. And I will give you a couple of seconds. And it says this. The first one is encouragement from others. The writer of the Hebrews encourages us to ponder the lives of those he lists in chapter 11. He refers to them as a cloud of witnesses. Hebrews 12:1, we cannot see this cloud of witnesses, but we can read about them and glean from their inspiring stories of endurance. Number two, getting rid of hindrances. Hebrews tells us, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. 12:1, and that's of Hebrews 12:1. This means we need to identify those things that could slow us down, including the sin God has brought to our attention. Number three, running the race. Hebrews 12:1 ends by telling us, and lets us run with endurance the race that is set before us. When the going gets rough, we don't run away. We can't be quitters. The longer we push the limits, the stronger our faith becomes. Fixing our eyes on Christ. Hebrews 12:2 advises us to keep looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Nothing helps us endure like seeing the final prize before us, and that prize is Christ himself. Do you want the prize? Then you must endure, and Jesus promises to help you. Ooh, hallelujah. So the word is this. Number one, encouragement from others. Number two, getting rid of hindrances. Number three, running the race. Number four, fixing our eyes on Christ. Thank you, God. Proverbs 21:17-18. He who loves pleasure will be a poor man. We read this earlier. I read our Psalms and I read our Proverbs. But I do have a life lesson from Psalms one more time. Psalms 86:11, unite my heart to fear your name. Our heart can be a jumble of conflicting emotions and competing interests. At the same time, we can feel torn in several warring directions. So God instructs us to pray for a united heart at one in him. We got to pray for a united heart. Because, again, if you are divided in every which direction, if your spirit is all over the place, divided here, divided there, where you can't get focused, you need to pray. And I'm not speaking to anybody but myself. Getting focused is what I need in my life, to be focused to get something accomplished. You know, in our training last night, our instructor talked about having all these different projects and things going on. And so starting here, and then now I got to go over here, and then I got to go over here, and then I got to go over here, and you don't get anything accomplished. And I'm like, oh my, she is preaching to me. Mine's scattered all over the place because you got so many things. As they say, you got so many irons in the fire that you don't want anything to burn up. We got to focus. And say, Lord, if I need to remove something from my plate, then show me what to remove. If I got to step back and take a sabbatical, Lord, show me when. If I need to go into consecration, Lord, show me how. You know, we got to ask God to guide us into the place that we need to be. Because we can sometimes get ourselves so caught up in discombobulation that we don't know what we're doing. It becomes a conundrum. Wait a minute. What did I say? No, we got to stay focused. We got a race to run. Chapter 22:1-30. And it says this, brethren and the father and fathers, hear my defense before you now. And when they heard that he spoke to them in the Hebrew language, they kept all the more silent. We're talking Paul here. Then he said, I am indeed a Jew, born in Tarsus of Cilicia, but brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, taught according to the strictness of our father's law and was zealous toward God, as you all are today. I persecuted this way to the death, binding and delivering into prison both men and women, as also the high priest bears me witness. And all the council of the elders, from whom I also received letters to the brethren and went to Damascus to bring in chains, even those who were there to Jerusalem to be punished. Now it happened as I journeyed and came near Damascus at about noon, suddenly a great light from heaven shone around me, and I fell to the ground and I heard a voice saying to me, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? So I answered, who are you, Lord? And he said to me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting. And those who were with me indeed saw the light and were afraid, but they did not hear the voice of him who spoke to me. So I said, what shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said to me, arise and go into Damascus, and there you will be told all things which are appointed for you to do. And since I could not see for the glory of that light being laid by the hand of those who were with, being led by the hand of those who were with me, I came into Damascus. Then a certain Ananias, a devout man according to the law, having a good testimony with all the Jews who dwelt there, came to me, and he stood and said to me, Brother Saul, receive your sight. And at that same hour I looked up at him. Then he said, the God of our fathers has chosen you that you should know his will and see the just one and hear the voice of his mouth. For you will be his witness to all men of what you have seen and heard. And now, why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Now it happened when I returned to Jerusalem and was praying in the temple that I was in a trance and saw him saying to me, make haste and get out of Jerusalem quickly, for they will not receive your testimonies concerning me. So I said, Lord, they know that in every synagogue I imprison and beat those who believe on you. And when the blood of your martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by, consenting to his death and guarding the clothes of those who were killing him. Then he said to me, depart, for I will send you far from here to the Gentiles. And they listened to him until this word. And then they raised their voices and said, away with such a fellow from the earth, for he is not fit to live. Then as they cried out and tore off their clothes and threw dust into the air, the commander ordered him to be brought into the barracks and said that he should be examined under scourging so that he might know why they shouted so against him. And as they bound him with thongs, Paul said to the centurion who stood by, is it lawful for you to scourge a man who is a Roman and uncondemned? He pulled out his Roman card. Then the centurion heard that he went and told the commander, then take care of what you do, for this man is a Roman. Then the commander came and said to him, tell me, are you a Roman? And he said, yes. The commander answered, with a large sum I obtained this citizenship. And Paul said, but I was born a citizen. Then immediately those who were about to examine him withdrew from him, and the commander was also afraid after he found out that he was a Roman, and because he had bound him. The next day, because he wanted to know for certain why he was accused by the Jews, he released him from his bonds and commanded the chief priests and all their council to appear and brought Paul down and set him before them. You know, sometimes you got to pull out your ace, and Paul's ace was, I'm a Roman citizen. And there was laws against harming Roman citizens. So Paul pulled his ace out because he knew that they could not do anything to him because he was Roman and the only one that could do something to him. That's why he wound up in Rome and dying in Rome under that evil Caesar named Nero, who burned down half his city so he could kill Christians. What an evil man. But we will get to him. But let's get to this life lesson, Acts chapter 22, verse 9. Those who were with me indeed saw the light and were afraid, but they did not hear the voice of him who spoke to me. Acts 9 and 7 reports that the men stood speechless, hearing a voice, so it is this contradiction. No, the Greek term translated here can mean both to perceive sound and to understand the men heard but did not understand. So you can imagine being blinded by light, hearing a voice that you don't understand, speaking in a language you don't understand. Paul understood and knew what he had to do and did it. Acts 22 and 14, the God of our fathers has chosen you that you should know his will and see the just one and hear the voice of his mouth. Paul never forgot the words of Ananias that God had chosen him to both see and hear Jesus and to know his will. He never allowed affliction to shake him, for he wrote, we are appointed to this, 1 Thessalonians 3:3. Acts 22, verse 29, the commander was also afraid after he found out that he was a Roman and because he had bound him. It was a serious offense to injure or harm a Roman citizen who had not been convicted of any of an offense in a Roman court of law. Paul did not hesitate to use the law when it helped his cause. Hallelujah. He used spiritual law and he used legal law to protect himself when he needed to. But Paul never faltered from his course of what he was called to do. He never faltered in his assignment for God because he had a heart for God. And as our psalm says, again, I'll tell you now, that psalm is a highlightable. It's a highlightable. We got to highlight and know who we belong to. We are sons and daughters of the Most High God. And I can say this with every part of my being. The Lord God loves us. And he wants what's best for us. He wants our heart. He wants our mind. He wants our spirit. He wants our love. But going back to our word for today, teach me your way, O Lord. I will walk in your truth. Ask God to give you, to teach you what you need to know so you may walk in his truth. So thank you so much, family. I love you all. I appreciate you. And just want God to use you. For his glory, for his grace and his mercy. And before we get out of here this morning, a word from my sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn. Good morning. Sometimes we worry too much about the outcome things that we don't stop and realize God has already taken care of it. Have a worry-free Wednesday, and I'm going to read that again. Sometimes we worry too much about the outcome of things that we don't stop and realize God has already taken care of it. Have a worry-free Wednesday. God has already taken care of all the situations we come up with that we think, as we think about it, God has already done it. Hallelujah, we are blessed beyond measure to be sons and daughters of the Most High God, keeping him first in everything that we are doing, knowing that with God, all things are possible. Thank you so much again, family. If there's anyone that has received a word from God that would like to speak, push the number 1 on your phone and your line will be open. We have about 4 more minutes, and we are open to take calls. If there's anyone that has a word or has a prayer or has anything that God has put in their heart to regarding, teach me your way, O Lord. I will walk in your truth. If there is not, that means that God has touched your heart. You have nothing to say, and we are finished this morning. But I am just grateful again. I just got to read this prayer one more time. So just pray with me. Teach me your way, O Lord. I will walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. I will praise you, O Lord, my God, with all my heart. And I will glorify your name forevermore. For great is your mercy toward me. And you have delivered my soul from the depths of Sheol. Father God, I ask you to watch between all of me and those that are listening, Lord God. While we are absent one from each other, I ask you, Lord God, to keep them covered under the blood of Jesus, that no weapon formed against them, no tongues that wag against them because of their faith and their belief in you, Lord God. For they are of the way. They are of truth. They are of life. They are of Christ. I ask you, Lord God, to keep them covered, to put your loving wings around them, that what they desire, they will receive. Whatever it may be, Lord God, your will be done. In the precious and holy name of Christ Jesus, I thank you, Lord, for this mighty word this morning. I thank you for your grace and mercy toward each and every one of us. Lord God, as we build our temples, the temples of our faith that is within each one of our bodies, let the Holy Spirit reign and take control. Let your light shine in us, Lord God, that those that see us will know that we are of the way, that we are Christians, and we love Jesus, and we love you, and we walk by faith and not by sight. Lord God, we lift up our nations. We lift up our leaders, asking you, Lord, to guide them in the right way, to do the right thing for the people of their nations. In Jesus' name, Lord, I thank you for those listening live and those that listen later, and ask you to keep them covered under the blood. In Jesus' name, I pray, believing and trusting in you, Lord God, and knowing your truth is loving me and covering me as you love and cover all of your children equally. For we each have an assignment. We each have a blessing. We each are yours and you are ours. Thank you, Father God, for your son. Thank you, Father God, for your love. Thank you, Father God, for just being a part of our life. In Jesus' name I pray, believing and trusting in you. Amen. And we say together, family, it's a wrap. It's a wrap. Have a blessed and wonderful day. And as Sister Carolyn says, one more time, sometimes we worry too much about the outcome of things that we don't stop and realize God is already taking care of it. Have a worry-free Wednesday, family, knowing that our Daddy God has got you covered. Have a blessed day, family. It's a wrap.